Thank you. Great. Wonderful. I'm very excited to be speaking with you today. If you've been keeping count, this is my third time. And we all know that third time is the charm, right? So I'm promising to bring my very best message today, with the caveat that the next time I speak will be the best time I speak. But at least today, this will be the best one for you. I say until the next one if Brandon gives me a chance to speak next time. But speaking about Pastor Brandon, of course he can't be with us today. Sadly, little Elijah was unwell this week. And whilst I'm told he's feeling better today, Pastor Brandon felt it was good to stay at home, give him one more day of recovery. So I thought we'd use the opportunity to do something really cringeworthy, because Pastor Brandon is watching. We can all say together, "We miss you, Pastor Brandon." Can we do that? 1, 2, 3. We miss you, Pastor Brandon. Fantastic. We're going to start with a quick prayer for this morning. Father God, we pray, bless us today. Amen. I did promise you a quick prayer. And today is going to be all about keeping promises. You'll see why. Quick introduction. My name is Derek. I am one of the worship leaders here. Of course, the other worship leader is our fabulous Megan, who led us earlier. Thank you very much. Let's show some appreciation. Fantastic. And if you've been coming, you'll know that she and I, we've been bringing a selection of songs on the theme of the Holy Spirit. Have we noticed this? Maybe you know a few of them. If I were to sing one, for example, let's see how well you know this one. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Nice. Okay, we're getting there. Good. How about this one? This one should be easy. The atmosphere is changing now. No, sorry, that's wrong. Is that right? Yes. The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord. Very good. We'll do one more. We need a fresh wind. Very good. You're all with it. Really good. Why is it that we have been bringing a selection of Holy Spirit-themed songs recently? Well, as Christians, there are a number of special days in the year, right? One obvious one would be Christmas, when most of the world, they're spending time 1 week buying lots of presents and then refunding them the week after, right? We get to focus on the fact that Christmas is about Jesus Christ and the fact that he stepped into our world as our Lord and Savior, right? Another big day for us would be Easter, where some believe it's an event to celebrate rabbits and eggs and all sorts of other things. We decide to say that that is the time that Jesus gave up his life for us. He died for our sins. And then he would have, not only that, he would have risen again 3 days later, right? He would have risen, proving his authority over death and over life. So we do have another event coming up. It happens next week. How many of you know that's our other birthday? We had a birthday recently, last month, when we turned 5, and that's we're thankful to God for it. Got us through COVID, and we're praying for many, many more years as well. But next weekend, we get to celebrate our other birthday. This is our 2,000-odd birthday, when 2,000-odd years ago, the Holy Spirit came into a room and he empowered all the apostles. We know this as Pentecost, and we'll be celebrating that next week. So we're preparing for Pentecost. We've been in a series on Pentecost. Pastor Brandon would have kicked it off a few weeks ago, talking about praying dangerous prayers. He would have reminded us that sometimes when God calls, we can be a bit like Jonah and run the other way. Incidentally, I don't recommend booking a weekend vacation in the belly of a whale. It doesn't sound like a great place to stay. Unless you've got some sushi fixation, want to be sushi at all, don't recommend spending it inside of a whale. Sometimes we can be like Moses. And when God calls, we start listing our inadequacies and our excuses and our issues. But Pastor inspired us to be more like Isaiah, that when God calls, we can be bold and we can pray, "Here I am, God, send me." So we're in this series. Last week, Pastor spoke about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. So he's our helper and our comforter and our advocate. And today we're going to be talking about Holy Spirit power. Can we say that together? Holy Spirit power, right? Fantastic. We had our coffee today. Great. So Holy Spirit power. If you're taking notes, today's title is Positioned for Power. We're positioned for power. And we're going to start with a scripture. I hear it's great to start with a scripture in a message like this. So we'll start with one from Acts 2. Let's just have a look. Yes. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Say all together. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Say violent wind. A violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Say each of them. All of them, let's say all of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Say enabled. Great. You're on the ball today. I love it. I'll continue the next part. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs and Swedes." No, it doesn't have that last one. "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'" What does this mean? That's what we're here to dig into today. We have the apostles and they've positioned themselves in the upper room. And we have the Holy Spirit coming to enable them with power. But before we talk about positioning and power, do we know what they were doing there in the first place? We know because it's in Luke. Luke 24 tells us why they're there. We have Jesus saying, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." This is the last chapter of Luke, which means it's the end of one story, but the beginning of another. And in true Netflix style, there's a cliffhanger here. So we've had Jesus die, and then Jesus has resurrected, and then he's appeared to them, and then he's told them he's going, but he said, "But stay and wait, something's coming." Let's look at it from the apostles' view. They've been following Jesus around for a few years. If you remember, they're sort of jostling for who gets the highest seats in his government because they think he's going to be overthrowing the Roman establishment, right? But then they see him captured and charged and crucified. And suddenly they're confused and they scatter and they hide, and everything they've been learning and doing, everything they've been building suddenly seems like it's been dashed. And it's all over, and so it seems. But then they discover the tomb is open and it's empty. And they discover that, you know, Jesus is standing amongst them. He just appears there. And when he's there, he tells them, stay in the city. Something's coming. Now, this is the city, right? It's got a huge occupation and a huge concentration of Roman soldiers. And from the Romans' perspective, they've just killed the leader, so now they want to round up the rest of the insurgents. But Jesus is saying, don't run, stay in the city. Do any of us relate to a time when God is telling us to stay? When everything around us seems a little bit in a disarray and we perhaps want to run, but he's saying to stay, something is coming. It's a promise. We don't always understand the promise. We don't understand the details of the promise, but we do know exactly who spoke them. There are thousands of promises in the Bible. Depends how you count them, and I haven't counted every single one. I have to admit that my Aramaic is a little bit rusty. It's even rustier than my Swedish, so that's saying quite a bit. But the best count I could find of God speaking promises upon his people, somewhere around 7,400 odd promises. Which of those do you hang on to? Which of those do you hold dear? One of my favorites is Jeremiah 29. And in Jeremiah 29, it says that God has plans for us to prosper us and not harm us, to give us a future and to give us a hope. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Or do you believe maybe he said that to a different people in a different time? I've got to admit, I believe it. I believe it because I've seen it. I'm still seeing it. And because last time I checked, God hasn't fallen off the throne, I believe I will see it again. I don't always know the details. Prosperity, I don't know what prosperity means here. Maybe it means in my health. Maybe it means in my friends. Maybe it's in my family or my finances. Maybe it's all of those things, or maybe it's none of those things. It'll be something totally different. I don't know the details. I don't know the exact details, but I know the exact person that spoke it. God spoke it, so I'll believe it. Now, I get why some of us are skeptical over promises. I think we learn to be from a very young age. If I think back many, 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 many years ago when I was in the playground at school, this is little Derek with his afro. Many years ago, we would be in the playground, we would watch the dinosaurs run by, and we would, inevitably, there'll be a problem in the playground. Some fight will break out amongst the kids, some argument, disagreement, because somebody would be playing with someone else's favorite toy. Or maybe somebody over here isn't playing by this person's rules. So the teacher will have to step in. And they'd have to restore order, and they'd tell us to behave, and then they'd tell us to make up. So I don't know what's in vogue today, but back then, when we were told to make up, we would take our little pinkies, or little fingers, whatever you call them. We would, one person here, one person there, and we'd link our little fingers together, and then we'd shake on it and say, make up, never, never break up. Am I showing my age? Does anyone know this? I guess in this day and age, we just emoji a peace sign or something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But this is what we used to do in the playground. We'd shake. Never, never break up. And then imagine what would happen the next day. The same thing, right? The same fight with the same toys and the same people. We learn from a very young age that promises are fragile. Whether it's me breaking them, for all the good reasons that I justify in my head, or maybe someone else breaks them. How dare they? How dare they break a promise? Whoever it is that's breaking the promise, we learn that they're fragile. But God's promises aren't those promises, right? He who spoke the universe into existence. When God promises it, we can be assured it will happen. We don't know the details and we don't know when. We can be assured it will happen. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, right? I heard a good one from Joseph Prince years ago. If God saw a red rock and he called it blue, how many of you know it would have to change? It would have to change because God cannot lie. If he says the rock is blue, it would have to turn blue. When he said, let there be light, there had to be light, right? If God promises something over your life, it has to come to pass. We're assured that it will come to pass. So we have this situation between Jesus and the apostles. He promises that something's coming, but they have to stay in the city. They have to position themselves in the city. So I'm done with my introduction, by the way. I can start with my message now. I think we're on time. We're good. I promise we'll be done by midnight. And I'm going to keep my promises today. So I'm done with the introduction. We have all the believers positioned in one place, right? In one place. Powerful things happen when we gather as believers. We know this. That's what we're doing here. But let's remind ourselves, why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? There's lots of reasons we come to church, right? But why do we keep coming to church? Why do we come? Why do we come weekly? I love how Paul puts it in Hebrews. That's assuming Paul wrote Hebrews. That's the common thoughts. But if we look at Hebrews 10 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So from that, what I get is, I come to church to motivate you. But I also come to church to be motivated by you. So then the reverse is true. If I don't come to church, I can't motivate you. And if I'm not at church, I'm not being motivated by you. Let's not neglect meeting together. We are in this world, but we're not of the world, right? We follow one way, one truth, and we're told to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we do that, what, a couple of hours a week? The rest of the time, our waking hours, we've got the world bombarding us with all sorts of other stuff, right? We have, what have we got? We've got TikTok. We've got YouTube, we've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, what's the other one? Interruptions, that's what they are. Constant interruptions, right? This place is a reprieve from all of that. You get to give love and experience love. Oh, but Derek, I get all that out there. Absolutely we do, absolutely. This isn't about being legalistic. God will bless us wherever we are, for sure. But great things happen when we gather, right? And I'm not being judgmental. I mean, last time I spoke, I mentioned there were many years when coming to church wasn't at the top of my list. It wasn't even at the bottom of the list. It wasn't on the list at all. So this isn't about being judgmental and it's not being legalistic. We're reminding ourselves why we come. We gather because great things happen when we gather. And we gather because we motivate each other, one another, when we come. People visiting this church, visiting our city, whether it's for an away day, an away weekend, whether it's for a month or a longer season, they will come online and they will Google English-speaking church, Stockholm, and we should come up in that list somewhere. So then they come through the door. Now let's imagine. That a British family come through the door and all our Brits have decided to stay at home that Sunday. It's a bit of a shame, just a bit of a shame. Or even better, a Trinidadian family come through the door. You see, I'm wearing my colors today. Trinidadian family comes through the door on a Sunday that I've chosen not to be here, and then there's nobody here genuinely able to connect to them and ask them what they're doing in this cold, 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 cold country. We don't say very in Trinidad. We say the word over and over. Cold, 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 cold. Cold country. I'm joking. And of course, we've done well. We're here. But let's motivate others that great things happen when we gather. Whether it's a Trinidadian, a Nigerian, Ukrainian, we have everyone in our church, right? Let's come and motivate others. Let's not neglect meeting together. Do you know who else doesn't neglect meeting together? You know who likes to gather in one place? I heard there's some singer of little repute, some success. And she's swinging by Stockholm next week. Her name is Taylor Swift. And she's managed to practically sell out the Friends Arena over three nights, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friends Arena holds 65,000 people in it. And she's sold it out over three nights. So, correct my maths, that's about 200,000 people who have decided it's not good enough to listen to her on Spotify. And it's not good enough to catch her on YouTube. They want to be there where it's happening. Right there. They want to pay money for it too. So if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us, right? Let's be here where it's happening. Let's gather. Powerful things happen when we gather. This is our sanctuary. It's our reinforcement. It's our replenishment. Even our refurbishment. It's our motivation towards one another in good acts, acts of love and good works. So we have the apostles. They've received their promise. They've stayed in the city and positioned themselves there. And then the Holy Spirit comes with power. Let's read Acts 2. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind comes from heaven and fills the whole house where they're sitting. Suddenly. Violently. Some change takes time. Learning a new skill, breaking a habit, Swedish over many, many years of SFE. Some things take time. But other change, big things, cataclysmic things, those things happen suddenly. They happen violently. You need to shake things up, tear things down, break through walls. Suddenly. We read how the Holy Spirit descends and suddenly he's catching everybody's attention, and that's what we need. He fills the apostles with power, and they boldly go where no apostle has gone before, to speak languages no apostle has spoken before. And we're in that same position. We're not waiting for the Spirit. He has come. We're empowered. Holy Spirit has filled us. So how are we enabled? What has he enabled us for? I like how Paul puts it. I went online and I did some Googling. It's a good place to find information sometimes. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, powers that he brings. And I found one person mentions the seven, the common seven. Someone else managed to come up with a list of 12. Eventually, I came up with a list of 20. And I've arranged them here in a bit of a word cloud. And there's no particular ordering here. There's no particular color scheme. It's just ordered, just arranged for you. I promised I'd be done by midnight, so we're not going to get through all of these. But just take a look. See if you recognize some. See if some stand out at you in ways that the Holy Spirit has empowered you with gifts to catch people's attention. Maybe one or two stand out, one or more. But if not, ask him. Ask the Holy Spirit, how has he empowered you? Another good question, what have you been empowered for? Megan, if you'll. He's enabled us to do a job at hand, but what is that job? We find out at the beginning of Acts, Jesus in Acts 1, telling the apostles, when he's appeared on one of these occasions, he's told them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So I might be controversial. My understanding of this, for example, is that if you're a teacher, your job isn't to teach. If you're a musician, your job isn't to perform. You are an accountant. Your job isn't to manage the books. And if you are a homemaker, your job isn't to manage the home. Our job is to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And we get to do that positioned as a teacher, or a musician, or an accountant, or a homemaker, or whatever it is we do. Our job is to spread the good news. the gospel of Jesus Christ into situations. The Holy Spirit is empowering us in a number of ways. What are some of those ways? Well, wherever we're positioned, we can spot that person, that colleague perhaps, that we've seen struggling. And with grace, humility, we can take them aside and offer to pray for their situation. Maybe something's going on and someone's come to advice. We are empowered to speak with wisdom into a situation that we would otherwise not understand. We're empowered to show kindness to those people that may not deserve kindness. Or we're empowered to help where others are refusing to. What else is on the list? We're empowered to heal. We're empowered to perform miracles. Do you believe it? Are we praying bold prayers for it? Here I am, God. Send me. In John 14, Jesus says, "You may ask anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because they neither see him nor know him, but you know him. For he lives in you and will be in you." This advocate, this helper, this counselor, the Holy Spirit. We have that promise that positions us to be empowered as a witness of Jesus Christ. I have one more thought before we close. We all have a phone in our pocket. I don't have mine. We all have a phone in our pocket, right? These phones can do amazing things. They allow us to make calls and keep in touch. They allow us to make notes. When the preacher's preaching, we can make notes. We can read books, we can watch movies, all sorts of amazing things. But if there's no power in the phone, it's no good to anyone. Even if we charge our phones and they're full of power, 100%. If I choose to leave it over there and I'm not enabling it or interacting with it, well, it's no good to anyone. It needs to be charged and I need to enable it in my hand and interact with it. But not only that, I also need it to be close to a mobile phone signal or a Wi-Fi signal. I need it connected. I need it connected to what's going around, in touch with its source and in touch with everyone else, in order for it to then do those amazing things. As we prepare to celebrate Pentecost, it's a great time to ask the Holy Spirit some questions. Or remind ourselves even, how has the Holy Spirit empowered me? How have I been enabled? And how have I positioned myself to be connected with my source and with those around me? Can we stand? I would like to pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being in this place. We thank you for being with us and in us. And we thank you for the gifts that you have empowered us with. May we pray bold prayers. May you position us and activate us and enable us and empower us to be effective witnesses of Jesus Christ in this city, right here. Right now, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.